morning and welcome to an Aloha Friday on The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. To my right, as always,
good morning,
Chris Vandercook. Good morning.
We're wondering what happens when the current building cycle comes to an end. Yeah.
Who is the we?
You.
Well, maybe you too, and maybe you too.
That's right.
Now, if you walk around parts of Hawaii, it's clear that many neighborhoods are changing. One of the most pronounced areas is Honolulu, with buildings rising in the skyline that weren't there not that long ago. The construction industry has been doing well and still has a little headroom before an inevitable drop-off. That's the big message in the report today out from the Economic Research Organization. UHERO Director Carl Bonham is back to look at the details. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
This is not necessarily new news, but it validates a lot of what you've been saying for a while, that we've been coming to the point of almost peak, and that looking at a lot of the work that's been done on Oahu, that's going to be dropping off in the fairly near term.
It's not new news. If you talk to people in the industry for several years now, there's sort of been discussions and conversations about how long can this last. And you know, this report, the way I would characterize it is we're seeing more of a plateau than a peak. Basically, activity staying about the same as it was last year at about that level for the next several years before things start to drop off. Essentially, that's the new activity, new buildings, say, whether it's out at Ho'opili or some of the ongoing resort and non-residential building, just sort of taking the place of the things that you know are already in progress, right? So not a lot of new extra growth there, just sort of continued fairly high level, and then an inevitable drop-off in activity. And we talk a fair bit about what are the forces that cause that.
So let's talk about some of those forces. I mean, clearly we are a finite place. I mean, that's one of them. But looking at some of the other issues is, you know, how much can we actually put in? What kind of infrastructure do we have? How much is it going to cost to bring things here to be able to do it?
Well, the cost item is so, you know, construction is a highly cyclical industry, and the forces that come to bear that tend to cause the cycles to go away, barring some kind of global recession or other major event, are usually related to cost. So one of the things that could slow or end the construction cycle is home prices getting too high and stifling demand, right? So if builders can't sell the product, they're not going to build it. The interesting thing about on that front, if in the report we talk about real home prices, so taking out the effect of overall inflation, and in this building cycle, from the bottom of the cycle back in 2011 till now, real home prices have only risen 20%. In a typical construction cycle, meaning the last two, say go back all the way to the 80s, home prices would have risen by 50%. Or even 70% in real terms. So home prices really haven't gone up that much yet. That's not likely to be the thing that kills off the cycle. On the other hand, construction costs have risen. So you've got, you know, do prices rise so much that people can't afford to buy, or do costs of construction rise so much that builders can't afford to build? And on that front, construction costs have risen more than in the typical cycle. And those will continue to rise, and home prices will continue to rise, and eventually the cycle will just naturally end, assuming, again, that we don't have some major event that changes things.
Looking at those costs, when we've been watching medium home prices accelerate, and you know, people being very concerned that now they're in roughly, you know, $740,000, what happens as they begin to approach $800,000, go over $800,000? Hit a point of being the million. Paul Brebaker has been saying that for such a long time that, you know, the average cost is probably going to be somewhere around the million and not too many years from now. That is looking, you know, fairly possible looking at some of the projections.
So our forecasts do not get us to $1 million in this cycle. If you were to go back, you know, I think when Paul said that, we were probably saying something fairly similar to it if you would go back 4 or 5 years. After the Great Recession, when home prices were falling and we were, nearing the bottom of home prices, many of us were expecting a repeat of previous cycles where you have home prices double. And it just isn't happening. I just mentioned that home prices have only grown in real terms by 20% versus 50, 60, 70% in a typical cycle. And we think that there are a number of factors at play there. One is we still have an elevated level of foreclosure statewide, which is a little bit surprising, and that contributes to some supply. We've got tighter lending standards. While total income has gone up, household income really hasn't gone up. If you look at median household income today on Oahu or on any of the islands, it's probably about the same level as it was in 2000.
And many households are feeling that part.
Sure, yeah. And so what you're seeing there is probably some of that is income inequality, where total income goes up but the median doesn't. And so those factors seem to be are constraining that typical doubling of home prices. And plus, we don't have that bubble-type housing market right now. We don't have this huge influx of outside money like we did in the Japanese bubble and like we did in the lead up to the Great Recession, where we had the subprime lending
bubble.
Yeah, some
people would say that's a good thing, is it?
Of course it is. Sure. No, absolutely. There's no reason to hope for home prices to double, I guess, if you're a homeowner. But still, it is a good thing for those prices to rise more slowly. But if construction costs continue to rise, then eventually you can't build the unit that people are able to purchase.
Meanwhile, there is some building going on also on the neighbor islands, but not at the level that we saw not all that long ago, at least
bubble. The neighbor islands really went through a housing construction bubble along with the home price bubble that was associated with the subprime lending and a big inflow of money, particularly from California and the West Coast. And so there's no particular reason why you would expect that to repeat or want that to repeat. And so they have more inventory overhang. You are starting to see projects go forward. Alexander Baldwin's got some projects on Maui, and you are seeing some activity on the Hilo side and really across all the neighbor islands. But it's been slower to catch on, right? With Kaka'ako, that started three, four years ago. On the neighbor islands, we're really just sort of starting to see this because of some of the inventory overhang associated with the overbuilding and then the people going back to the mainland.
Overhang and overbuilding, those terms.
Yeah. And so if you look at residential housing units that have been permitted, Oahu is getting close to the level we were at back in 2004-2005 of housing mm-hmm. units actually permitted. And we haven't even begun the building. There have been permit applications for Ho'opili, but they haven't been issued yet. So we're getting back to levels that are not as high as they were in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, but they're as high as they have been in recent history. Neighbor Island is well below that level.
We got to go in just a second, but as you look at this, and clearly you've mentioned that the construction industry has been talking to itself a lot about this. No surprises here for them. And do you see the real good sense of planning for this and being able to communicate that to a number of people who now are really happy because they've been involved with so many, what looks like to them, boom years?
What you don't want to be as a developer or as a builder, you don't want to be the last guy standing or the last woman standing and build the tower that then nobody wants to buy. And my sense from talking to a lot of people in the industry is that they're very aware of that. Someone will still build, the last unit that maybe they shouldn't have. But I think it's less likely to be widespread, right? There certainly is no sense that, we're still rushing forward to get new projects off the ground, say, particularly on the luxury side, right?
Well, let's hope all that's also being communicated to all those employees. Thank you, Carl. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Economics Professor Carl Bonham is the UH Economic Research Organization's Executive Director and one of its founding members.